Rudolph Walker, and the programme was first broadcast in October last year. This is BBC Radio 3. It's 10 o'clock. Coming up at 11.30 tonight, Lopa Kotari introduces World on 3. But now, from the stage of the Royal Albert Hall here in London, here's Petrop Trelawney with the second of this evening's proms.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Royal Albert Hall for tonight's prom, which continues this season-long focus on the music of Johannes Brahms. In a moment, the elegant and distinguished Canadian pianist Angela Hewitt is going to play his solo piano music. Later on, a reinvention of one of Brahms's chamber works by that great 20th century musical innovator Arnold Schoenberg, his orchestration of the first piano quartet. And in between those two pieces, a rare chance to hear a short work for piano and orchestra by Schumann, dedicated to Brahms. Well, Andrew Manzi is going to conduct tonight's concert. It's the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra here on the stage of the Royal Albert Hall. However, they are going to remain silent for the first few minutes of this concert, instruments down, as we hear two of Brahms' intermezzo for solo piano. Please welcome Angela Hewitt. Angela Hewitt playing Brahms' Intermezzi from Opus 117 in E-flat major and B-flat minor. Works from Brahms' final group of piano pieces, Lullabies of My Sorrow, as he called them. First, he actually headed with lines from a Scots lullaby, the border ballad Lady Anne Bothwell's Lament. Surely amongst the most personal piano music ever written, reflectiveness and deep introspection amongst its most predominant characteristics. Angela Hewitt returning once again to the platform, being heartily applauded by the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra, who provided a very close-up audience for her in that here on the stage of the Royal Albert Hall. An elegant midnight blue dress for this concert. Well, after Brahms, next a work dedicated to Brahms, inexplicably only now getting its first Brahms performance more than 150 years after it was written. Schumann's Introduction and Concert Allegro. The work opens with pizzicato strings, piano answers with rather a melancholic solo, which soon gathers speed and leads into the main allegro section, where keyboard dominates throughout. Schumann wrote the work in September 1853, finishing the score in time to place it on the music stand of his wife Clara's piano, ready for her to discover it on the morning of September the 13th, her birthday. But she didn't get the dedication. A few weeks later, the 20-year-old Brahms arrived on their doorstep from Dusseldorf, and the work was dedicated to him, a great public affirmation of Schumann's affection and esteem. It wasn't long after Schumann had finished the piece that he first attempted suicide and was taken to the mental institution where he was to die 2 years later. Deeply affected by these tragic events, Brahms himself slowly set to work on his first piano concerto that we heard earlier this evening, partly inspired by the work we're about to hear. Some writers suggest we even see Brahms' D minor concerto as a magnified set of variations on the main themes of the Schumann piece. So here comes Angela Hewitt with Andrew Manzi to conduct the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra in this late-night prom in Schumann's Introduction and Concert Allegro in D minor, Opus 134.
Thank you. Thank you.
Schumann's Introduction and Concert Allegro, played by Angela Hewitt, the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra, conducted here at the Proms by Andrew Manzi. Peter Thomas, guest leader of the orchestra this evening. Andrew Manzi, its associate guest conductor. Work getting its first ever performance at the Proms this evening. Callum MacDonald, in his programme note tonight, describes a tersely triumphant coda. Ironic, considering the piece's position as one of Schumann's last works, written in September 1853. The following year, he attempted to drown himself in the Rhine, and perhaps as a result of this, says MacDonald, the piece remains the least known of all Schumann's concertante works. Angela Hewitt returns to the stage now, standing by her piano, taking a bow, bringing Andrew Manzi forward, who brings the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra to its feet. Angela Hewitt from Ottawa, Canadian-born, but London-based pianist, sublime artist. Probably best known for her Bach, her project to record the complete Bach on Hyperion, finished in 2005, hailed as one of the record glories of our time, but she's also recorded and performed repertoire ranging from Rameau to Messiaen, the complete Ravel and complete Chopin nocturnes and impromptus. Interestingly, tonight she's playing on a Fazioli piano. First time there's ever been a Fazioli piano in the Proms. They're made just outside Venice. 40 artisans work making them, totally handmade, only 110 made a year. The soundboard is made from the same wood that Stradivarius used for his fiddles. Paolo Fazioli, the man who makes them, I think the only living piano creator and maker in existence. Well, if you've just joined us this evening, it's a night of Bach here at the Proms. If you missed Bernard Haitink and Emmanuel Ax performing the first piano concerto and Brahms' Third Symphony, you can listen to that on the BBC iPlayer, or watch it indeed. It was on BBC Four earlier on as well. And tomorrow night, the same forces will be here performing the second concerto and fourth symphony. That's at 7:30 on Radio 3. And you can see it at 9 o'clock tomorrow night on BBC Two. Also this weekend at the Proms, the BBC Singers and London Sinfonietta with music by Peter Maxwell Davis and Harrison Birtwistle. That's tomorrow afternoon. And on Sunday evening, Mozart's Requiem and Ian Bostridge and Roderick Williams, soloists in a new work by Colin Matthews. Full information at bbc.co.uk/proms. Three more weeks to go of the festival. Of course, the big foreign orchestras coming in force in that time. Netherlands Radio Philharmonic on Tuesday, Israel Phil week on Thursday, Budapest Festival Orchestra, Pittsburgh Symphony, and the Philadelphia Orchestras amongst the visiting orchestras joining us here at the Royal Albert Hall. Well, I've come backstage here at the Royal Albert Hall now, and I'm joined straight from the platform by Andrew Manzi. Bravo.
Evening, Petrok. Thank you.
Wonderful to hear that, Schumann. It is extraordinary that it's its first Proms outing.
Extraordinary. What an amazing second melody it has. It's one to remember and hear a lot, I think.
Let's move on to the piece you're going to perform. In about 3 or 4 minutes' time, there's a bit of a stage move to go on to get to extra forces onto the platform. Schoenberg's orchestration of Brahms' First Piano Quartet. Schoenberg was a huge fan of Brahms.
Yes, not so many people realise that Schoenberg knew Brahms. I mean, and Brahms probably helped him out with a bit of money when Schoenberg was a poor, struggling young musician. So he had a great fondness personally for Brahms, I believe, as well as for his music, admiration for the music.
Now, he played the quartet as a musician, and he had a very clear idea of what he wanted to do. He wrote a famous letter saying, "I like this piece, it's very seldom played, and it's always badly played, because the better the pianist, the louder he plays, and you hear nothing but the strings." So he wanted to rectify that.
Yes, that's one thing about the original Brahms, is that the strings are really on the edge. They're pushing their instruments as far as they go. Schoenberg doesn't need to push them because he's using a huge orchestra. So you could say he's going more inside the piece and showing us the beauties in the piece.
Now, it's one thing to work up a string quartet for orchestra, but what does he do with the piano part?
Well, sometimes he's ingeniously reproduced it, almost note for note. I wouldn't say you imagine you're hearing a piano ever, but he has taken those textures, and there's a brave moment where there's a piano cadenza in Brahms's, and he has managed to write an orchestra cadenza. It's a lot of fun to play, very difficult to play, but a lot of fun and a big challenge for the orchestra.
At the last moment, It's a real tour de force, isn't it? With quite strong gypsy influences on Brahms' original piece that again, Schoenberg brings to life.
Yes, I mean, Brahms as a young man, his first tour outside his hometown was as a pianist with a gypsy violinist. That violinist has disappeared in the history books, and Brahms is left with this lovely sense of the gypsy style, and indeed he became well known. He could sit down and play these sorts of things, probably improvise them to his friends. And so here he is putting one into a proper piece.
Now, tell us about the orchestra that Schoenberg uses, because, of course, one of his great credits was as a great innovator in terms of how people approach the traditional symphony orchestra.
Schoenberg has used a bigger orchestra than Brahms ever used. He's using triple woodwinds and those exotic things like a bass clarinet or a cor anglais that Brahms wouldn't really have thought to use. But the way he uses the instruments is very different from Brahms. I mean, he's using the lyrical side of all the possibilities, of course, as Brahms did. But he will also be using little tricks, for example, bits of trombone glissando or something that Brahms probably wouldn't. He'd be horrified and probably very amused at the same time. So it is full of, if you like, modern gimmicks. But I don't want to take away from the fact that Schoenberg is treating Brahms with the greatest of respect. And if he's having fun with Brahms, it's because he knew Brahms had a lot of fun with his music making, as well as the serious guy. We must get out of our minds this fat guy with a beard, Brahms. He's 24 years old or something. He's blonde and handsome and blue eyes, and everyone went weak at the knees when they saw him. And that's the music. That's the composer who wrote this piece.
He was a victim of photography almost, wasn't he? That it's only later on that photography gets invented and we get those pictures of the godlike old man. I love this idea of Brahms and Schoenberg both being there in Vienna. And okay, Brahms didn't come from Vienna, but he moved there. This idea of these two great musical sons in one city.
I love it too, and it's not only those two men. I mean, Bruckner's there at the same time, and a lot of people are in Vienna. It's really an amazing musical world and an artistic world. You've got the Secession just about to happen. The Secession building is just a few metres, really, or Brahms would have been able to see it from his flat if they hadn't knocked it down. There's a lot of change going on, and Schoenberg is, if you like, looking back to the old world of Brahms and saying, don't forget how good this was. Mm. This is where we all started. And I think Schoenberg feels he owes a debt to Brahms, which is sometimes overlooked by people.
And of course, here's a reinvention of Brahms. Here's Schoenberg, who we still think of as somehow being new, even though we're talking a century ago.
That's right. I mean, I think Schoenberg will always sound new, his own music. But and I think here he is pointing out that however new, whatever he's done, the seeds of it were sown by Brahms, even in an early work like this.
I have to stop you because your orchestra are almost tuned.
I nearly forgot.
You better head back to the stage.
Thank you
very much indeed for joining us. Andrew Manzi, who is going to make his way, not rushing, he's going to take a very gentle pace back to the stage to continue tonight's concert on BBC Radio 3 and BBC 4 with Schoenberg's orchestration of Brahms' Piano Quartet No. 1. My intention, said Schoenberg, to remain strictly in the style of Brahms and not go farther than he himself would have done had he lived today. For almost 50 years, he wrote, I've been thoroughly acquainted with Brahms' style and his principles. I've analysed many of his works for myself and with my pupils. I've played the work as a violinist and cellist numerous times. I therefore knew how it should sound. I had only to transpose this sound to the orchestra, and that is, in fact, what I did. So the orchestra tuned and ready to go in this late-night prom here at the Royal Albert Hall. They rise to their feet as Andrew Manzi makes his way onto the platform. Schoenberg's orchestration of Brahms' Piano Quartet No. 1 in G minor. Brahms Piano Quartet No. 1 in G minor, written in the late 1850s and the early 1960s, orchestrated in 1937 by Arnold Schoenberg. What would Brahms have made of that? The BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra, conducted here at the Proms this evening by Andrew Manzi. Youthful piano quartet by Brahms, orchestrated in a great act of homage by Brahms, by a hero of Brahms, Arnold Schoenberg. Andrew Manzi back on the platform, bringing the percussion section of the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra to its feet. Work that was heard first here at the Proms 25 years after it was made by Schoenberg, when Adrian Bolt invited the Proms audience to observe it alongside Elgar's Introduction and Allegro and Schubert's great C major symphony. The woodwind and brass sections of the BBC Scottish on their feet now. This the last Prom of the year. They'll play Mahler 2 at the Edinburgh Festival next week. And the new season under Chief Conductor Donald Runicles starts with the orchestra's first concert in Glasgow, the premiere of James Macmillan's John Passion on Thursday the 29th of September. That'll be live on BBC Radio 3. The Scottish premiere of that work, 29th of September. Put the date in your diary. I mentioned earlier on that tonight's Prom was BBC 4 as well. I hope that didn't send you scurrying for the television remote control. You hear it live on the senior service on BBC Radio, but it will be on BBC Television, on BBC 4, on Friday the 2nd of September. Well, more Brahms tomorrow night here at the Proms. From the Chamber Orchestra of Europe, Bernard Haitink and Emmanuel Axe. That's tomorrow night's Prom. Chamber music tomorrow afternoon from Cadogan Hall. Sunday night it's Mozart and Colin Matthews live on Radio 3. Another chance to see Verdi's Requiem on Sunday night on BBC 4 Television. Andrew Manzi, leaving the stage now, associate guest conductor of the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra. Great crowd for this late night prom here in the Royal Albert Hall, but it's time to bid you good night from SW7. Back to Jill Anderson at Broadcasting House.
Thank you very much. That was Petroc Trelawney. And you can hear that prom again on the BBC iPlayer, and it'll be there for the next 7 days. Well, at 11.30 this evening, that's in approximately 8 minutes' time, we'll be joining Lopa Kattari for World on 3. But before that, here's Andrew Manzi wearing his other musical hat. He's a wonderful Baroque violinist, and here he is playing Corelli's Sonata in E major with the harpsichordist Richard Egar. Corelli's Sonata No. 11 in E minor was played by Andrew Manzi and Richard Egar. This is BBC Radio 3, and now we join Lopa Katari and World on 3.
Oh, Five musicians from London went to Kenya to meet a group of musicians there in the capital, Nairobi, and the result was the Awini Sagoma Band. They're my guests on the programme tonight, and alongside the delightfulness of the music that just swings and grooves, theirs is a wonderful story. And that was a little taste of what's to come. Nabed Nede Epinika. How will I live on this earth? I'm Lopa Kotari, and welcome to a slightly shorter World on Three than usual. There's a great batch of new releases due out over the next few weeks, and one of them is Mujeres de Agua from the multi-talented and award-winning Spaniard Javier Limón. He's the guy behind the last few Buica albums, that wonderful smoky voice singer who grew up amongst the gypsies in Mallorca. He's also worked with Paco de Lucía, Marisa, Bebo Valdés. In fact, the album he did with Valdés, Lágrimas Negras, earned him a Latin Grammy for Best Traditional Tropical Album. It took 3 days to record and stayed in the Spanish album charts for over 100 weeks. This latest album brings together two things that Limón absolutely excels at: the female voice that he records so well, and his artistry in all things flamenco. And I'm sure that with this album out on Rest Records here in the UK, he's going to notch up a few more accolades. This is Agua Misteriosa, featuring punk flamenco singer Elsa Rovaya, who also goes by the name of La Chica.
Agua de una fuente misteriosa. cry, it's all day long. And when we sigh, it's all day long. I've done you wrong, you've done me wrong. But baby, kiss me. We know this dance might be our last. We swirl and sway, too hard, too fast. It's been too long. It's been summer, fall, winter, spring. Yes, one more time, please let us sing. We must be strong, keep hanging on. So baby, kiss me. And at night we howl at the moon, like a pair of bulls. Snows too soon as we wait for our fate.
The world on your doorstep in more ways than one. Dutch Delta Sounds slipped out of my Songlines magazine this month, and this is what I love so much about compilations. When done well, they're a great way to adventure out into that tidal wave of music without even having to get out of the chair. No Blues are from the Netherlands, and the music is Dutch Arabicana blues, a bit like a good blend of coffee. That was Weyeg from their album Hela Hela on the compilation Dutch Delta Sounds. And before that was a track from Javier Limón's latest album, Mujeres de Agua, Water Women. And I'm going to play more from both of those albums next week. Three very modern sounds of the world now, the Balkans, Greece and Mongolia. First up, a track from Electric Balkan and their album Balkan Dogs. This is Pitbull Terrier, which I think could be dedicated to the dog pictured on the album cover, a rather sweet meerkat-looking thing. The song itself is weird and wacky, so just hang on for the ride. We'll be right back.
Sisam karam ja lajem, grebem, kidam, jebem u licu, vošten u duši, vošten. Žderem, jedem, serem, čaram, baram, sisam, karam, ja lajem, grebem, kidam, jebem, u licu, voštem, u duši, pošten, ja sam pitbull!
Παραθύρι της ψυχής μου το αφήνω ανοιχτό. Όταν ξυπνώ για να κοιτώ τον ουρανό. Τι κι αν πολλές φορές τον αντίκριζω μελαγχολικό. Τον κόσμο γύρω μου κοιτώ και στο Θεό χαμογελώ. Για να σου χαμογελάσει η αγάπη που προσμένεις, πρέπει για καλά να μαθείς πόσο αξίζει να πονάς. Και μετά το πρώτο δάκρυ και να γκρίζω συνεφάγη, η αγάπη θα φυσήξει σαν δυνατός χωριάς. Δεν είναι δύσκολο να πεις εγώ πως δεν ξαναγαπώ, αλλά είναι απίθανο για να αληθινό. Για τη ζωή χωρίς αγάπη είναι ψέμα πονηρό. Τι πιο μορφό από τον Άγκος, από δυο χείλη σ' αγαπώ. Για να σου χαμογελάσει η αγάπη που προσμένεις, πρέπει για καλά να μάθεις πόσο αξίζει να πονάς. Και μετά το πρώτο δάκρυ και να γκρίζω συνεφάκι, η αγάπη θα φυσήξει σαν δυνατός βοριάς.
Altargana, and undeniably the sound of Mongolia, but not quite as it's been heard before. Under Union is a 10-strong group of musicians from various ethnic backgrounds in Mongolia. I guess you could call them hunter-gatherers, with the folk music and languages of Mongolia being what they're after. I saw them at WOMAD a few weeks ago, and they were talking about how they've really only nibbled on the tip of the iceberg with regard to Mongolian traditions. The group itself has been around for about 10 years, and it's become a sort of musical movement, determined to salvage as much of their folk traditions as possible and inspire a new generation to make it part of their world. The song I played before that was Denatos Vorias from Thomas Sopilidis, a Greek composer and singer, another artist keen to keep the folk music of his country alive and kicking. And so to my guests on the programme tonight, the Owini Sagoma Band, a Nairobi-London sound clash who came into the Radio Theatre at Broadcasting House earlier this summer. This is Wires. A great bit of funk jam there from the London Nairobi Sound Clash. A song called Wires from my guests tonight, Owini Sigoma Band. And here to talk to me, I've got Jesse Hackett, Joseph Nyamungu, and Charles Owoko, who are going to tell me all about how this music came together. Jesse, how did you happen to head off to Kenya in the first place? And why Kenya, other than any other African country?
We basically got invited by an old school friend who'd set up a kind of a small charity-based project and wanted to do a musical exchange, basically with the aim to kind of produce a CD that would be a collaboration between people from London and people in Kenya, because she believed that not enough exposure was being given to Kenyan music, and she felt that a good way to sort of encourage that would be to form a collaboration. So she invited us and kindly paid for our tickets and let us stay in her cousin's house and introduced us to Joseph and Charles as soon as we got there, who we immediately had a really nice friendship with and started playing music, and it really just grew from there in a kind of spontaneous and kind of organic way.
And by us, you mean there's your brother, Louis, who's playing bass. You've got Sam Lewis. Guitar and vocals.
Yeah.
Tom Skinner on drums and vocals. And you were all school friends as well, weren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, we all went to the same school together and been playing music together. Well, I've been playing music with my brother since I was a kid, but also with Sam and Tom, and also Chris, who's not around at the moment playing with us, but who also is a school friend and helped produce the album. So yeah, we all grew up together. We all went to the same school. We were all playing in various little bands and things like that since we were quite young. And then as we grew older, got a little bit more serious with it and decided, you know, that music was going to be sort of like more of a career. And yeah.
And Charles and Joseph, you are also old school friends. You've known each other a long, long time.
Oh, ours is a bit different. We met in only music because we came from a different area. He from Alego, I'm from Ugenya. And we met in Nairobi when we played together this our instrument. I play the drums, he play nyatiti. And we have known each other more than 16 years back.
And you both speak the same language?
Yes,
you come
we
from
are
the same
all
group?
Luo, yes.
You come from the same community, the Luo?
Yeah.
Luo community.
Yes.
And so what part of Kenya is that?
That is Western.
In the Western.
Western
part of Kenya. And Joseph, you're a music teacher, is that right? You have a music school?
Oh, he's teaching and making the instruments and how to twin it. He's teaching many people in those who like to learn the nyatiti. Nyatiti is a Luo main guitar.
Charles, give me an example of this Luo rhythm. It's quite distinctive, quite different from other sounds within Kenya. Is that right? It has a very particular rhythm.
That
totally infectious.
That rhythm, if you go to Western, where Luo are, if you had the nyatiti or roto, they know that rhythm. When you play, you see that somebody just dancing or whatever.
They know exactly where it's from.
Yes.
Jesse,